is Miles McFlower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores the demystifying of metaphysics and spirituality. Just a fraction of what we will cover are such subjects as detailed explanations of the afterlife, what the meaning of life is, and what intelligent life is like in other worlds. This is a show many of you have been waiting for to hear and participate in as well. Why Life Is has been on the air broadcasting for nearly 3 years and is now available on BBS Radio in prime time on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Well, hi. This is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. And I'm really glad that you're listening this evening. Tonight's show, which is again going to be on metaphysics and spirituality, is going to be on the general subject of what is spirit. I thought that starting off with something very basic about a show like this on this subject area would be good, because many of you have not heard some of my other talks, including on KXAM on Saturdays. That show has been on for a considerable period of time, and of course we've covered a subject area of this before. But for those of you who are new listeners, I'm hoping that this will give you a chance to understand some of the basics about what the show is supposedly about. After all, if we're about spirituality, I think understanding what spirit is would be a great subject area to start with. Now, you can call in, and this is the great part about this show, and participate. You can ask questions or you can make comments. And you can do this by calling toll-free 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. Only. And if you are listening from the Canadian part of this continent, 888-815-9756. And give us a call, and I would love to hear from any of you who are interested in this subject and have something to say about it. Also, from last week, hello, Rebecca, if you're listening and enjoyed the comments you had. Certainly, you can call again this evening if you want. I would love to hear from you. So let's start off with some ideas about what is spirit. Okay, now I'm going to tell you my opinion and my thought about this. Now, this is based somewhat on experiences that I've had, which I described a little bit last week, but also from thinking about the subject, and also from reading about the subject, and also listening to what listeners like you may have in your opinions. But in general, my thought is this, that spirit is a component of the creator of our universe's own mind and thinking. In other words, when we talk about something having spirit within it, its originating source comes from God or comes from the creator, whichever word you would prefer. They both mean about the same thing to me. But at any rate, it comes from that source. So something is spiritual when it represents a thought that is in some way related to the thinking of the creator of our universe. And there's actually two components to thought in general. Now, this part I hope you'll stay with me on. It's a little bit hard to understand, but I'll try to do it, make it as easy as I possibly can. And there are really two parts to thought in general, whether it's from our creator or otherwise. And the first part really has to do with creation and freedom. I'm just sort of sending out some ideas in words themselves. So this is just the first part of thought. It's freedom and it is creation. And it also has to do sometimes with even destruction of things that aren't really working very well. It also deals with areas of choice and will. Isn't that interesting? I find that quite interesting. So when we talk about there being choices and there being willful issues, will is like the consistency of somebody's choices. That is all for the first part of the thought that I'm talking about, that of what thinking itself is. But there's another part to thinking. It isn't just making choices. It's that those choices can connect together, and they have effects on all kinds of other choices that we might make in the future. And that's called direction and love and inclusiveness. This is the second part of thought. And it also goes into areas like planning. Yeah, planning and givingness and consciousness. Whoa, that's a big word. All of that's like the second part of what thought is. You put the two thoughts, the two parts together, and you have completed thought. If you have too much of the first and not enough of the second, the thought is not complete, and vice versa. So if we had too much planning and too much love and inclusiveness, but there wasn't enough choice and freedom, that would be incomplete thinking as well. So if you want to have complete thought, you've got to balance these two parts together. And here's the really interesting part of the whole situation. To define something as being God's thought or spiritual or spirit, then it must have these two parts not only balanced, but in a state of continual evolving growth. In other words, the two parts are not only balanced, but they can't be static. They have to be moving in a direction where it causes life itself to grow by the thought itself encouraging that to take place. Isn't that a wonderful idea? So that's how I define spiritual thought. I gave you a definition for thought, and I gave you a definition for spiritual thought, and I hope you're still with me on this because this is a little complicated. But when I talk about spiritual, that's what I mean. And hopefully, you, if you have some ideas about this, will tell me what you think about spiritual as well. Now, spiritual thinking eventually develops more of life itself, and it grows life, which I believe is also inclusive of the growth of our own Creator. So you might say, well, God came up with this great idea that in order to for it to grow itself, it was going to create life, or help to create life, that would in itself be able to eventually grow more of itself, but also in the process, if it thinks similar to the way that God does, that the Creator does, then it grows that Creator at the same time. Now, since freedom is the first part of this whole process, the Creator cannot choose for us to only think the way it thinks, because that would be a wrong thing. It would go against its own tenets of how it chooses to think. Therefore, we are free to think, either spiritually or not so. Remember, we're free to not think at all if we want. But if we're going to think, we could choose to think somewhat like our Creator, or somewhat unlike, or completely in either direction. We have all of those options available to us. And tell me that isn't a great idea. I like it. I like this whole way it fits together, because what it spells to me is tremendous levels of open-mindedness, of real love. To me, real love fosters the development of others becoming loving themselves and in wise ways, not forcing anyone or anything to do or be a certain way. I hope you think the same way, but if you don't, that's okay. Give me a call. I'm available to discuss that with you and many other ideas at the same time. All right, so now we have kind of like my definition of what spirit is. And I want to give you some examples of how I see this fitting into our lives, because to me, talking about the concept of what is spirit doesn't exactly tell me anyway how this makes a difference in my life or your life or anybody's life. And I really like being practical in applying something in ways that makes more sense and helps me and others to become, in some ways, more, we'll say, like our Creator. The way to best apply this that I have found, I'm going to tell you what I have found. The way to best apply this type of understanding is to look at within ourselves, look inside myself, and try to challenge the thinking that I'm doing. I ask myself when I'm speaking to someone or when I'm listening to someone, Am I listening with an open mind? And am I speaking with a mind that tends to have within it the definition of spiritual? This is a very good place to start. I find it really works for me if I can do it in real time. Now, for a lot of people, and this is true, this was true for me some time ago, I maybe have gotten past this point. I hope some of the time I have. But in the beginning, I was just like anybody else doing this. I couldn't do it in real time. In other words, the ability for me to have a conversation or to listen to somebody and every second being able to process, it's called the now, where I can process what took place, what's taking place now, and how that's going to affect the future, and do it all at the same time, that seemed very challenging to me, and I usually could not do it. What I could do in the beginning was to reflect and then to contemplate on the effects in the future of what had taken place. So in other words, I can think about and tend to come up with some ways that I could better in the future become more spiritual in the way that I was thinking and become more open-minded and tend to listen better to others' ideas. All of that seemed like it was much easier to do when I was doing it afterwards. Of course, I would regret sometimes whether or not what I did do was of any great value and whether it really was doing what I had wanted it to do, because I would say to myself, well, gee, I tried, but, you know, this didn't work out. So you got to be careful. Also, I had to be careful about not recriminating myself when I failed, because I could see many times when I would reflect on it that I wasn't particularly thinking spiritually and I wasn't particularly hearing spiritually. And I think the two basically are equally important, by the way. And so it's good to not have that overall sense of, we'll say, judgmentalism about ourselves. Some people might call it guilt, but that's kind of a slightly different thing to me. But in any case, it's better to do this with an open mind, even about our own actions, and to not say, oh boy, I really did think badly or didn't follow this and I didn't do that. And the interesting thing about this also is that if you can do that with yourself, I have found that the more I can treat myself with reasonable contextual understanding of the things that I do wrong, the better I am about doing that with other people. And just the reverse, by the way, is also true. I discovered that when I was trying to understand myself being a spiritual person, if I was judgmental towards myself, if I was in some ways argumentative about my own positions, or if I was in some way condemning the way I had been thinking, that spills over and had an effect, still does if I do it today, which I hopefully don't do too often, on how I treat other people and how I see other people. So it really helps to stop that sort of, we'll say, judgmental and significantly negative response towards other people if you can keep that attitude in mind while you're doing the reflection and contemplation. Contemplation, talking a little bit more about that, that's where we correct the things that we did wrong and see ourselves in some future sense responding in a different way than we did in the past. It's an excellent part of this meditative, reflective type of changing ourselves. And it definitely brings ourselves closer to being spiritual. And I find that this is really, really helpful if in circumstances in the past I've reacted emotionally. What that means is not that I didn't have feelings, but that the feelings are all about me. Okay, I call emotional feelings being something about me and lacking love. And when I've had that kind of response, where I've had the lack of love and the lack of we'll say, really focusing out, then the reflection and contemplation tends to break that cycle, so that the next time after I've contemplated the situation, I have less of a likely response that is emotional rather than loving. And again, emotional means to me where the feelings I have, which are I completely verify, and any feeling I have is okay. But if it's all directed into myself about myself, then it's emotional to me. That's what I mean by emotional. Some people define these words differently. That's why I'm careful about how I'm doing it. So hopefully that will make a difference. At any rate, we need to break at this point. I'm looking at the clock here. And we're going to come back in about 2.5 minutes, and I will continue to discuss the idea of what it means to be spiritual.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. Viropel is a dietary supplement and is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about Viropel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. Viropel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of Viropel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives Viropel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase Viropel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit Viropel, that's Viropel.org.
Well, we're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower, right here on BBSRadio.com. And I'm going to continue on now with our discussion today about what is spirit and how do we become more spiritual in our life, since part of the show is about that, obviously. And I hope that some of these things that I'm mentioning will be of help. They certainly have meant something to me in my life and to others that I have had discussions with about this. So to begin with, to take up with where we ended, if we are doing some level of meditative thought that covers a time period that has already gone by, if we are reflecting on what has been said, that gives us the opportunity to get up to another approach. And the other approach is what I said much earlier, which is to attempt to get ourselves to a place where, in real time, while we're having discussions with other people and we're listening to other people, we are able to reflect and contemplate at the moment. Now, isn't that a wonderful idea, to do it right at the moment and to be able to do so in a way in which it is almost seamless, at least to the other person or people that we're talking with and to. This is not easy to do. I invite you to try it because I think you'll see how hard it is to do, because basically you're trying to concentrate on a lot of different things at the same time. And you need to use something more than just mental thought. Mental thought is thinking at one part of time at a time. And it's a great thing to think mentally. I don't want you to think otherwise. But there's a kind of thought that is better than mental thought, because it allows us to think in all time periods, past, present, and future, at the same time. And that's called intuitive thought. Now, intuitive thought is not like, well, I have a hunch, and that's what I'm thinking. Intuitive thought allows us to see the causes and effects of things all together at one time, while we're either listening to or speaking to others. Now, I'm going to say that again, because some of you are scratching your head probably right now and say, what did he say? Okay, again, intuitive thought allows us to, at the same time, okay, to be aware of a cause and effect, but in many cases, multiple, hundreds even, or more, of causes and effects happening at the same time while we're listening to or speaking to others. That's intuitive thought. Now, you may find this difficult to understand. I will tell you this, and I'm not bragging, but I think it might be helpful to understand what I'm doing right now is intuitive thought. Yeah. And, of course, I'm speaking. I'm not listening because, as of yet, we haven't had someone talking. But if we have had, I would be doing a similar thing. So I am thinking of causes and effects in multiple ways at the same time, during a good part, if not all, of the time that I'm speaking to you right now. Now, you might say, well, how do I know that's true? Well, I don't have any notes in front of me, and I didn't even think about what I'm saying right now. Because when you can do this thing, if you can think about it, of thinking about causes and effects at the same time, it expands the ability to create thought. Thought becomes much larger. Because instead of, well, I got to think of this cause, and then I got to think of what the effect is going to be for that cause, and then I'm going to go on to the next cause and see how that connects to the last one and how that effect is going to be, that's mental thinking. Intuitive thinking, you're doing this for, well, it could be dozens, it could be even hundreds or more of causes and effects all at the same time. That's why someone who does do that has several qualities to their thinking. One is that it seems as though no matter what they speak about, they can connect it to so many different things. It's almost like they must have spent hours or days scripting the thing, but they didn't because they're using this other kind of thought. It's also much, much faster in its ability to connect things, as you can see. And connections is called consciousness or inclusiveness, all part of the second part of our creator's mind. And it means that someone who's an intuitive thought is actually thinking in a state in which their consciousness is being elevated by the use of it. You see, that's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Now, don't think I'm bragging. I'm not saying that. But I would be remiss in saying something different than what I just said, because what I'm telling you is the truth. And to say something else would be too obscured. False humility is worse than no humility at all in some cases. Humility, by the way, grows. It grows intuitive thought. So the more humble someone is, the more they are capable of creating intuitive thought. Also, another thing that builds intuitive thought is what I talked about in the first segment. If we were to spend at least an hour or two, I prefer it in the morning, by the way, there's reasons for that. Our minds are fresher and they work better in the morning. There's less illusion in them. Of doing reflection and meditation, that time builds this ability in us. It brings us to a state where we can do more of joining causes and effects together so that we are thinking less mentally and a bit more intuitively. Now, that doesn't mean if one is thinking intuitively that they can't use their mental mind, just the opposite. The mental mind actually works better when someone is thinking intuitively because it becomes effortless in its use. What does that mean? It means it doesn't take anything. It doesn't take any energy, any action at all to create a mental thought. It's just right there. So you don't have to sit down and write an outline and then go over it and prepare and all that stuff, which is normal what people do when they're usually using their mental mind to do some of that sort of stuff. Instead, it literally becomes like an instrument. Like you're playing an instrument and you're doing an improvisation of a great musical piece that you're creating at the moment. And it usually turns out to be pretty good. Now, once in a while, maybe the piece may not turn out so good. It's possible because intuitive thought is quite difficult, and sometimes it fails. And if it does, then the mental thought that follows could be kind of screwball. But most of the time, in reality, it turns out more like the musical instrument creating something that's quite beautiful. And interestingly, intuitive thought builds exactly that. It makes thinking and expression of thought and listening, yes, you can listen in a beautiful way. It makes all of those beautiful. What is beauty? It means that it enhances the senses in our bodies and in the bodies of others to just hear it and to respond to it. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so intuitive thought is like service to others, if you can do it. And I think everybody can do it, by the way. This is not something that is like only a few rare people. This is something anybody can do, provided that they work on creating more of their thought to be spiritual through some meditation, some motive, right? Motive, the motive to want to become more like and part of our own creator. If we really choose to do that, we choose that as our process, then we can create more of this intuitive thought and become more beautiful in our thinking and help others to do the same. Am I doing some of that for you now? I hope so. And if I'm not, well, then I guess I missed the boat. Okay. Remember, humility is a very important part of this. What is humility? Humility means that we have to accept our own illusions and potential for vulnerability and the lack of ability to understand some things. In other words, we're maybe conscious to a very high level, but there's some limits to that level, right? And humility means that if confronted with someone else's thought, we need to say, well, I'm going to listen to that thought. I'm going to try to hear it and understand it. And if it's better than my thought, then that's so be it. And if it isn't better, then at least I can help that other person to understand something more, too, in either case. And in some cases, just listening to someone, even if you don't think their thought is right, is important because it makes them feel and think that there's a desire to be closer to them, that there's a sincere opinion of givingness on your part, on our part, to them. So listening even to people who may be objectively wrong, at least as far as it appears. I mean, after we test out their theories and so on, we still give them recognition for the fact that they have worth in what they tried to do. And you see, so that's important. Humility includes all of that. Humility is a really critical element. And I'm not saying I'm the epitome of humility, by the way. There are many times when I lack humility throughout my days. And I'm sure that's true of most people. But the more we can become humble, the more we become closer to the great being that we would like to grow more of and become a part of. When I say become a part of, that doesn't mean you're going away anywhere. It means your individuality increases, not decreases, but it increases by becoming a greater being yourself. Humanness is a nice place, but it isn't the place you want to stay forever, right? I mean, there's something beyond being human. I hope some of you believe that, because I know it to be true. I really do. And beyond the human are some conditions and places that we can go that are wondrous. I mean, greater than the greatest of any humanity we've ever experienced from others. There are places that we can develop ourselves to in our consciousness, in our beingness, in our creations that are truly wondrous. And I think that everybody will eventually get there. Everyone. It may take a while for some. Now, don't get me wrong. I know a few. It may take like millions of years. Who knows? But they're going to get there someday, you know. because there's a few turkeys out there, right? You know them too, I'm sure. But those people eventually will advance beyond. And again, because we are all destined. We are all destined to create beautiful thinking. Isn't that an amazing thing? The way humanity moves from being human to something greater is by doing just that. In our thought, developing beautiful thought, which means some level of intuitive thinking. Because intuition builds the virtue of beauty. Some of you might say, well, then what does mental thought do? Mental thought builds the virtue of truth. Truth is a good thing. Beauty encompasses truth. It does not exclude it. The difference is that truth only helps to balance out at the moment all of the contradictory and wrong concepts that support whatever your thinking is. So that at the moment, the only concepts you have, the only examples of every concept that you have in your mind, support each other into a single mass, we'll call it, of thought. And that thought is balanced. That's a good thing. Truth is a good thing. Beauty goes beyond that. Beauty gives something back besides balancing and making sure that there are no exceptions that imbalance our thought or our concept so that the thought is truthful. Beauty goes beyond that by creating a condition in which the thought itself causes our senses and the senses of others. Now, these are mental senses, but the other senses as well can be improved upon. They become beautiful. They become unified. It unifies the senses themselves within the bodies that we're using, rather than truth only balances the senses. It doesn't unify them. Truth just balances. It's a good thing. It gets rid of the forces in our senses. And if you're talking about in mental senses, which is we have mental senses, then the truth creates within our mental senses the most amazing thing. It allows us to experience openness in thinking without there being conflicts, being open to other people's thought. That's what truth does. But beauty enhances our senses further by bringing them together and joining them over time into a unified sense, and even unified senses from one body to another. Beauty is amazing. Beauty does everything that truth does and way, way more. Beauty converts us from being human into superhuman beings. Because with unified sense, our senses are no longer human. By definition, we have seven major senses. I know most people think we have five, but we actually have seven. I'll explain that when we come back from break. But we have seven major senses, but they are actually separate. When they're no longer separate, by definition, you're no longer human. In at least three of the bodies, in this case, the physical body, our emotional, astral body, and our mental body. When those three bodies are no longer separated in their sense, we have become something other than human. Some people call it being a master. Some people call it a superhuman. Some people call it a member of the spiritual kingdom. There's a lot of different words for it. But I think the bottom line is that this is the ticket. This is how we move. Through leading a more spiritual life and spiritual thinking, we can eventually become intuitive in our thought, and that will change us into becoming something that's even greater. Think about that, and we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes, and I'll tell you even more wondrous things, I hope, when we get back.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Well, we're back, and this is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. Today, I hope I've been explaining about what is spirit, what is spirit, spiritual thinking, and how by thinking more spiritually, we change ourselves into something greater than even being human over time. And certainly while we're being human, we change our life as a human being into being less forceful, more truthful, and gradually more beautiful. Isn't that a great idea? I really hope that some of you will try some of the ideas that I'm suggesting. By the way, you can also listen in to my show tomorrow on KXAM.com radio if you're outside of the Phoenix metropolitan area. And listen to that show because we're going to be kind of continuing this talk. I chose this subject tonight because it kind of blends into tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show might be a little more advanced because the listeners to that show have been listening for up to 3 years. And so I have maybe a little different audience. I don't really know that to be true, though. This is a lot of guessing. See? That's why if you communicate with me, you can send me an email at thoughts@whylifeis.com. And I can hear what you think of the level that I'm talking about tonight as an example. You can also call in still. You can still call into this show if you want and let me know. Because feedback is very helpful. It gives me an idea of just where I should be talking at, so to speak. Tomorrow, though, will be a little bit more advanced than what this show is about. And it's going to be about meditation and taking action. Many people, but in meditation and in discussing it, I'm going to be talking, like I did tonight, about spiritual thought, going a little bit deeper into some ideas and some things that people can be doing. I won't go as deep tonight on this show, but we're still going to cover a lot more. Believe me, I'm not done. And also, I might go over a few minutes longer on tonight's show because I've been told I have that permission to do that, so to speak. So if that's okay with you all, I will do that. At any rate, let's continue on with this whole idea of spiritual thinking, and spiritual means thought, literally. It means the thought of our Creator. So how do we know? Let me ask you this. Now I want you to think, I'm going to pose a question. How do we know what is the thought of our Creator? And I gave you a general concept that it balances, the two sides balance each other out, and they promote more growth in thinking and more growth in life. But what does that mean? I mean, is there, Yeah, I mean, that's it sounds like a lot of platitudes, but it does. Is it practical? Can we use it in a way that will really be meaningful and really help us to get a, we'll say, a arms around the whole idea? And I say yes, but I'm going to give you some more, we'll say, down-to-earth ideas about how to do this. This is the down-to-earth part of the show, okay? And since I got a few more minutes, the good news is I can develop this a little bit more than I had anticipated, so this is good. That means we can go a little bit further with this. And again, this is not scripted, so I'm doing this right off the cuff, so by having more time, I get more to say without having to worry about anything. All right. The first thing I would suggest is this. When we are balancing and becoming more spiritual in our thinking and also growing thought in ourselves and others, the experience we get is that through our communication, in either listening or in speaking, there is less force, there's less interference in either the listening part or the speaking part. That's a very big clue. If, as an example, you were to say, well, Niles, I tried yesterday speaking to so-and-so, and when I did, I found out that instead of it being clearer and more understanding, it became more and more difficult to communicate, and I had trouble hearing what they were saying, etc., but I was trying to be spiritual. My response would be, well, that's a sheer, that in itself, it almost is a certain indication that although the thought was to attempt to be more spiritual, the results show that the process was illusioned, meaning that your thinking was contaminated probably by some egotism, by some arrogance, by some emotionalism, by some, selfishness in cooperating and not wanting to share with the other person or persons that you were dealing with. You see, that's a good indicator, a good yardstick for us all, is this concept of the ease at which we are able to listen and hear and to communicate with others. And very few people use this as a yardstick in my experience, and I'll tell you what happens. When I talk with people and they start telling me about their experiences of listening and communicating, they usually project and rationalize the problems that they're having onto others. Oh, it's their fault. If they only would listen to what I said, if they only would do exactly this or that. I do this all the time, by the way. This illusion is not, I'm not immune from. But the illusion itself is that it's others that are creating the issue. And that's not true. What is really happening is that our own consciousness has not grown to the point where we can create enough beauty, enough truth, enough love with those that we are communicating with to allow the communication to take place in a way that is more spiritual. That's the truth. It's a bitter pill, isn't it? Because I sure like to blame it on everybody else. I'm sure we all do that, right? And I do it sometimes. It's everybody else's fault. But really, is it? Is it really everyone else's fault? Or are we the creator? Are we the ones who are creating our experiences? Are we the ones that can make a change to something that isn't really taking place the way we would like it to be? That's what I come up with. That's what I have found. And I want you to know, I do this all the time. I screw up all the time. So if you're saying, well, yeah, he's got it down, he doesn't have to worry about it. No, I don't. I do some of this, and I know everybody around me does some of it. This kind of, well, other people are responsible for this communication issue that isn't really working. But it's take responsibility for it, and that's the next thing I'm going to move into now. The more we take responsibility for other people's actions, not just our own. I know everybody says, well, you got to take responsibility for what you do. Well, that's good, but I say don't stop there. Let's take responsibility for everyone and everything, because that's how you become more like your creator. That's another step in that direction of becoming more like your creator, is to take greater and greater levels of responsibility for things that we have less and less control over. Think about that. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? But it isn't. It just means it encumbers us to become more creative, to do more, to take a level of, we'll say, of creation to a new level. Take our creation, I should say, to a new level that allows us to fully participate, in some cases, with our Creator in some situations. And even if we can't fully in others, we can do so at greater levels than we ever have in the past. Now think about that. Think how wonderful that is, to be able to do exactly that sort of thing. Truly an amazing enabler to just take responsibility for those areas that we normally would never do. I mean, many people will say, well, why should I take responsibility for something that I have virtually no control over? It seems ridiculous. Because once you do, you then enable yourself to become far more creative and challenge yourself to do something that is maybe even beyond being human. Because after all, I'm talking about that very fact that we're growing in consciousness through these processes of becoming more spiritual. Isn't that amazing? I really find it's amazing anyway in my life. If you have some thoughts about this, please give me a call right now while I'm on the air. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, he's almost off. I'm going to go a little bit over. I've been given the enabling creation to go a little bit over tonight, so I'm going to go a little bit over, maybe 10 minutes or something. I hope that that won't be too much, but something like that. All right, so by taking these greater levels of responsibility, now we've got another method of becoming more like our Creator, and taking those responsibilities for others as well as ourselves. Now, what about taking responsibility for ourselves? What does that involve? Well, here's an interesting thought. How about taking responsibility for ourselves in circumstances in which the outcomes are not necessarily favorable to us? See, most people can take responsibility for themselves when there's something they're going to get back, right? Oh, what's in it for me? But what about taking responsibility for ourselves when there's nothing in it on a personal level for me? That's another way of getting closer to being the creator. And let me tell you why. Once I start taking responsibility for myself and for others, but for myself, in situations where there's nothing in it for me, what I'm really saying is that I see that I and others are really connected together and one. I'm not forcing myself to do this. I'm doing it because I understand it to be the case that others and I are connected together and really part of each other, because we're all part of this creator that we're helping to grow. And once we get that going, once we get that thought going, that process going within ourselves, some truly amazing things begin to occur. Here's some of them. I'll name them. First of all, our ability to understand other things outside of ourselves grows by the proportion that we take responsibility for things that we don't get anything back in return for. So So you actually are getting something back, aren't you? You're getting understanding. You, by taking responsibility for things that you're not getting anything from, you are actually learning about those things in part by giving to them. That process of loving or giving to them grows consciousness and gives you an understanding of so much more than what you could have before.
Hello?
Okay, I think that somebody may be on the line right now. Who is this?
This is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. What would you like to say tonight?
Well, basically, I think what you're saying is a good thing. I'm a little worried about things like The Secret and things like that because of the fact that, according to a lot of the literature, if you use your spiritual energy and you're not connected to your higher self to manifest positive consequences for you, you spent up your spiritual energy, and therefore you get worse results later on. And therefore, you have to be very careful, like the kahuna said, to do no wrong. And as long as you're helping other people and yourself, then there's a positive balance there that goes forward. But if you just do it for the purpose of advantage over other people, I think you have a problem.
Oh, I would certainly agree with you on that. Interestingly, if we're including the idea that someone is motivated to be spiritual to gain power or control over themselves or other people, then in those situations, I would say that they're not being spiritual. What they're really being is, in some ways, self-focused and spiritually ambitious, maybe, but not truly being spiritual. See, I think
they're like they're being a sorcerer rather than a shaman.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a hypocrisy involved. There's a lot of negative factors in that case. I think that I'm picking up a little feedback from. Are you close to the sound on your computer?
Okay.
You might.
Yeah.
I want to turn on your computer a little bit.
Okay.
Go on, Michael. Go on.
Well, I went ahead to the speakerphone because my earphones weren't working,
and
that might be the feedback.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I can't switch on this phone to the talk phone because that would hang up.
Oh, okay. So, well, we'll do the best we can. I can hear a little feedback in the background, but we'll do the best we can. Maybe the engineer is doing something, too, in the background. But go on. What were you going to say, Michael?
I'm worried about the secret stuff and the sorcery stuff just because of the fact that when you use the higher powers, you always have to use them for the good of everyone and not just for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a good thing to let our listeners know about. And
never
I would
do
also,
any harm. Now,
yes.
Think about it. It's
do
what
no
you
harm.
Ask for. Harm to anyone.
And also be focused out on trying to serve other people rather than yourself.
Right. Okay, and
yeah.
So if you do benefit to other people and you do benefit to yourself, you have a right to prosper, and that is very wonderful.
Absolutely true. And one of the ways it happens, Michael, is by giving to other people, you gain understanding of them, and the growth in understanding develops yourself at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
So every time we love someone, we're actually loving ourselves at the same time because there really is a connection, and that's what we're proving.
Well, when we get down
doing
to the
love.
Basis of it, we
yeah.
and are the same thing.
That's exactly right.
And we cannot hurt another without hurting ourselves.
I agree with you. Listen, Michael, I want to thank you for calling in this evening and for listening. And did you get to listen to the first show, or is this your first show that you've heard?
No, this is the first show I heard. I had to argue with something earlier today because something was interfering with me. I'm an energy healer, and sometimes some of the negative forces get mad at me.
Uh-oh. Well, you don't want to bring any negative forces in your life. What kind of healing do you do, Michael?
The easiest way to do it, I do it remotely also, is for you to feel it. because there's actually no description of it. Jesus would say it's called casting out demons, but it's actually sending demons to the light.
Huh. Well, okay. So you kind of deal with people who might have some level of possession? Is that what you think?
Well, actually, a lot of times it works on minor pains and all sorts of things because of the fact that you do not get into demonic possession or anything like that until after you've gotten very angry and you've gotten into a lot of negative emotions.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Okay, and so therefore, if you can stop them from getting there, that's even better than deal with the other thing, because the other stuff is very stressful and very hard. But yes, I do deal with demonic possession sometimes. It's very hard. It takes a lot of energy to do it.
Well,
but on the other hand,
it
just sends them up to the light, because I don't like exorcism. Because exorcism is sending them out to the world, and we don't need them around. We need them to go back to their source.
I agree with you. And keep up the good work, Michael. And thanks for calling in. And listen some more and call again.
Oh, I'll try to do that. Okay, thank you. And you have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a great call. And the idea that that there's something on a personal scale for us in becoming more spiritual is antithetical. That means it's against the very idea of being spiritual, at least as I've defined it. Now, the problem is, of course, many people define spiritual in a different way, and sometimes the context can lead one to the idea of gaining power and having control over things. That, to me, is really not spiritual. I would call that more dealing with the elements of force and power itself and the dark side. My understanding, for those of you who haven't heard, of course, my other show, my understanding of evil is really where power is substituted for spiritual. So it's a very simple definition. So if I wanted to become evil, I would get rid of my definition of spiritual, and I would substitute for that definition the word power and the word force, both of those used in tandem. And that would lead me into evilness or darkness. So first darkness and eventually evil. To me, something is evil when it is not only selfish and destructive in some ways to others, but evil is actually, its purpose is to destroy the growth of God itself, and sometimes even to destroy God. Of course, many people who are evil say there is no God, but that's kind of an odd thing, because they kind of need God in order to have what they believe to be their position. But in any case, evil in itself is a state of destructiveness to life, because life is God's growth, and so evil wants to destroy life, and at a minimum destroy the growth of life, so life can't grow. Many times it destroys life itself. So we're going to go on for probably about another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll end this show. I'm being given a little extra time. I really appreciate that by the station itself, because this is the last show they have for this time period, and it gives us the opportunity to go on, which I really appreciate. I really do. Okay, so let me continue on with some other ideas about the ways that we can grow ourselves more into our Creator. I've given you some of those ways. Of course, I can talk for probably a long time on this subject, because there's so many ways of doing it. But another interesting way, which I will kind of get into tomorrow's show on KXAM here in the Phoenix area, is that if we take into ourselves the concept of action or activity as being a responsibility that life has in this universe to grow more of the Creator, then that becomes something that many people tend to confuse. And I'll explain what the confusion is. During my travels, so to speak, and in many speaking engagements and radio shows and whatever else I do, I'll tell you more about that in a second. I think we've got somebody else online. Hi, who is this?
Hello?
Yeah, who am I? Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Who? Can you hear me?
Yes. Niles?
Yes.
Hi. This is Aaron. I had a question.
Oh, hi, Aaron. This is somebody I know who lives in California. How are you doing, Aaron?
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
Now, I'm picking up a little feedback. Do you have your sound up in the background?
Yeah, I can hear you. Should I call back?
Well, no. You just turn the sound down on your own computer and listen to me over the phone if you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, good. All right, then go ahead. What did you want to say, Aaron?
Yes, my question was, when you take more responsibility for other people, how does that affect one's own karma? Does it get speeded up? And if so, does it become this process of where one is taking more responsibility for oneself to speed up karma in addition to taking more responsibility for other people?
Well, Aaron, let me explain it. Yeah, let me explain it this way. It does speed up karma to do anything that is joining causes with effects. But if you're taking responsibility for others and your motive in doing so is to create more goodness in the world and to become a greater part of your own creator, become more spiritual, in other words, as I defined it on this show, then instead of speeding up and getting more karma, you're actually heading off the karma that might be speeded up, and you're changing it into service to others. So instead of having karma, you have opportunities in which you can serve others, and you don't even notice that there's any karma coming, at least the negative karma. It is such you're changing negative karma into good karma, because the good karma is your ability to serve others. How does that sound?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Interesting.
So that's the advantage. And I know that some people are concerned because if there is a truth to what you're saying in general, and that is that if someone, for not quite completely right motive, tries to lead a more spiritual life, but sometimes they screw up. And during the time that they screw up, they actually might have faster, more severe consequences for having made a mistake than if they hadn't tried to become more spiritual in the first place. That actually can happen. There are circumstances where that can happen. But if you're truly taking responsibility for others and you're able to do that and commit in terms of your activities, which is what I was getting into when you called, by taking proactive action, you know, where you're doing it and not waiting for the effects to hit you, that's the better thing. So I'm glad you brought this question in, because it's blending with what I was about to talk about. And so by taking these actions ahead of time, we become spiritual servers, and we never notice that there was any negative karma that was going to happen. It actually just goes away. It just becomes part of our spiritual service. How does that sound?
I see. Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you for giving a call today. I'm really glad you're listening and that you called in. And keep listening, and you can also listen to tomorrow's show on KXAN. And I appreciate the call this evening.
Well, I don't know if anybody else is having trouble calling in, but I had to call in on the Canada line because that was the only line that worked.
Oh, really? We were having trouble with the... So there's something wrong with... You tried calling 677-676-5227? Is that correct? Oh, 877. 876, yeah, 5227, yeah. I'm looking at this sheet of paper, and I'm holding up the microphone. I'm talking over the microphone, and the microphone's in the way of the phone number. It's a very strange thing. Okay, because I don't have these numbers. You try calling 877-876-5227. Is that the number you tried to call? And you couldn't get through?
Yeah.
All right, well, hopefully the manager of the station will take care of that. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently it's the station manager tried it, so it's working. I don't know. You might want to try another time and see if it's working from your area. Maybe there's something else going on. But hopefully any other callers are going to be able to get through. Listen, again, Aaron, thanks again for calling in. And I'll talk to you again. And you have a good one.
Thank you,
Mel. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, I have a few announcements very quick to make because I don't want to extend my welcome on this show too far, but I'm going to be, I'm going to be speaking on Monday, May 21st over at Mesa Fiesta Borders. This is for the people who are either going to be traveling to or in the Phoenix metropolitan area or who live here, of course. And I'll be at the Mesa Fiesta Borders from 7 to 8:15. That's p.m. That's on Monday, May 21st. And I'm going to be talking about this subject. Where did God come from? Well, tell me that isn't a big enough subject for you, huh? Where did God come from? That's I'm going to be talking about that. I want to mention for those of you who are interested in knowing this, that the Gemini full moon is going to be on Thursday, May 31st, at 6.04 p.m. Arizona time. Okay, Arizona time. So those of you, it's GMT minus 7, I think is what they call it. At any rate, and the reason I'm mentioning that is there's a thing called a spiritual festival in Gemini, and some people aren't interested in knowing when that full moon is, and I thought I'd give it out. And also, on Thursday, June 3rd, I'll be over at Paradise Valley Borders. This is a different Borders in the Phoenix area. And it's a new night because they switched me to Thursday so I can do the show for all of you on Fridays. I used to be there on Fridays. And I'll be talking about supernatural powers. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about any of us becoming Superman or something like that, or Batman. Batman really didn't have supernatural powers anyway. But nothing like that. And I'm not talking about the dark side at all. This is about what we talked about earlier, what I was discussing, developing the ability through unifying our senses to become something greater than human, which includes intuitive thought. So I'd like you to think about that. And if you can come, do, because I love meeting the people who are listening. And, of course, I'm going to be continuing to present Why Life Is right here on bbsradio.com Friday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. So I think that takes care of all the housekeeping. Hopefully this evening I've given out some ideas, some understanding of how to become more spiritual in our lives and to understand what spiritual means. I hope that means something to all of you and what spirit in general is. And if this has helped, then so be it. And if not, you can let me know by emailing me at thoughts@whylifeis.com, and hopefully I won't get too many of those. But at any rate, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is, and I will be talking to you either tomorrow or next week when you listen in. Thank you for listening. Thank you.